fellow nerds. Come in, come in to our cozy living room. The tea is on, the pillows are plumped, and it's time to get down to the important business of fangirling. I'm Heather.
And I'm Stacy. Welcome to Free the Squee, a podcast that puts pop culture on the therapy couch for our enjoyment and hopefully yours too.
While we are actual doctors, we don't play them on this podcast. Please seek out a licensed therapist for professional advice. Hey, Stacy.
Hi, Heather.
I had the strangest experience the other day. I was at Target.
Yes.
And I was looking for, I don't know, face cream or something.
Yes.
I couldn't find it. So I go up to this shop, Target girl.
Yes.
And I say, can you help me find this thing? And I was wearing, I have my very first Doctor Who shirt.
Oh.
Which is a very cool shirt. It is a heart. It's blue and it's a heart.
Just one heart?
Yeah. Yes, error. But just one heart. Half the heart is a American flag and half the heart is a Union Jack. And
okay.
Then in the middle is a TARDIS.
Aww,
it's a very cool shirt.
That's a great shirt.
It's one of my favorite shirts. Anyway, I'm wearing this and she goes, oh my gosh, I love your shirt. And which is my favorite moment. Does not happen very often, but I said, are you a Whovian? She said, I am a Whovian. And then we begin squeeing about Tenet coming back and Shooty. And we just, and my daughter, who was staying next to me, rolls her eyes and walks away.
I was just going to say,
yeah.
How soon did the eye roll occur? Oh, within seconds.
Within seconds.
Excellent.
And she's like, oh God. And so she walks away and goes and does her thing. And so, and this she is a hardcore fangirl.
Oh.
I was not up to date with all of my slacks. And
So
there, she knew things I didn't know. I was quite relieved when I caught up with my Slack to find all the things she told me were there. Thank God. Thank you, friends. If I had been on top, I would have been informed, but I just had not.
Okay.
I had gotten distracted editing this podcast.
I'm already distracted because I want to know what she was caught up on. But
well,
anyway, go
ahead. She was caught up on the, that she's the one who told me that Shooty had come out.
Oh.
And she told me that, she told me about these, apparently the Converse had done some Doctor Who designs, but then I went to my Slack and found out that it was a joke. So they hadn't really, which was a bummer because the fake designs were super cool. I know. I'm so bummed. And so anyway, so we were just kind of fangirling and it was fun. She was sweet. She was probably in her early 20s, but it was fun. And one of those hardcore David Tennant fangirls.
Okay.
And you know what they're like.
So yes, I'm going to not out myself or anyone I love in this moment. However, I need to know.
You know some of these.
I do. I do. I have a question.
Yeah.
Is she recently a Tennant fangirl?
No.
As in because she watched Good Omens? Because let me tell you, there is a section of the internet that has re-lost their minds over my favorite Doctor, over Tennant.
Over Tennant.
Over anything Tennant has done, particularly anything Tennant and Sheen have done.
No, even though she's so young.
Okay.
This is an extended conversation for someone who's helping me find face cream at Target.
Oh, we are past the face cream once we bond over the fandom.
She's like 14 years in.
Oh my
Tennant's her first doctor. I mean, I think she discovered him when she was six or something.
I was going to say, when did she start watching?
Yeah,
that's
a long
cute.
Time. I mean, she's like a baby Whovian. She was a baby Whovian, right? So, no, she's deep in. She's blown past any gates anyone could possibly set up for her.
Good.
Well, probably not classic Who, but whatever about those gates. Those need to go away anyway. But whatever. Anyway, so one, this was all very fun. But then this very strange thing happens.
Go on.
That I really am not quite sure what to make of it. I keep kind of pondering it. So I think the age gap is a little bit important here because I'm, you know, a little north of 50.
Gen X Whovian.
Thank you. Gen
and this
X.
This is a Gen Z Whovian.
What's next after Gen
Alpha.
Z? Okay. Well, I think we're somewhere in there. I'm not quite totally sure, but okay. Millennial.
Probably Gen Z.
Gen Z. Okay.
Yeah.
So she says, did you get the 14th Doctor's Sonic? And I said, I didn't because, you know, it's just for the four times and I wanted to save a little money, but I was at Comic-Con and she said, well, I got it because it's Tenet's. And I said, you know, I was a little bummed because it's got a mashup of 10 and 11 and a little 12, but there was no 13 in there. And she says to me, well, you know, I think they're just going to wipe her out of canon.
What?
Right. Well, I mean, I will always be 11. 11 was my first doctor for sure. But, you know, I'm a Jodi girl.
Yeah.
And any upset I have about Jodi is because I just don't think she was served well in writing. But she's the COVID doctor and things were hard. And so I think we need to give everyone some grace here. I wonder, because she's the COVID doctor, if we're going to have a whole set of associations. We will. We are going to have a whole set of associations with her tenure.
Yes.
That are going to be whatever they're going to be, good and bad.
Yes.
That are going to make her just different.
100%. Like, some of which are conscious and some of which are absolutely
a
not.
A lot are going to be unconscious, right? And so it's going to be like she's almost like under a black light.
Yes.
Right? It's just going to be so...
How could it not be?
So different.
Yeah.
So much weirdness.
Yes. I don't see how it could not be. I was just thinking... So Grey's Anatomy was pretty contemporary, for example, with coverage of COVID. I could not watch that show, and I still haven't watched that season. Yeah. Even though I want to get to the things that happened later, I feel like I have to watch it. So also shows that covered COVID that happened during the pandemic. Like that's, it's fascinating. So because we are experiencing the temporality, again, we are experiencing that thing in time, not just in literal time, ironic as we talk about a show about time travel, but in our own time. Our own sense of our life experience. And then when we watched it. So like she was watching 10 current, but she was a child. What about someone who picks up the series now and starts with 9, for example?
Right.
Like picks up contemporary who
right,
not
right,
pre.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. What's that like? Because it reads different. Like the feeling of those episodes that are from 9 and from 10 are going to feel different in the current time frame than they are if you were watching them relatively current.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I think back to Jodi's little in the closet thing that she did. Did you see that?
I'm not sure. Go on.
So she recorded a COVID message.
Oh, no, I didn't.
You should look it up. Yeah. She did it herself. She happened to have a coat at home. Okay. I don't know if she had a whole outfit or just the coat.
Yeah.
I think she recorded on her phone.
Wow.
They wrote it for her, I think, as a story. She recorded it herself. It was a kind of COVID, we're going to get through this.
Wow.
Stay safe. Do what you're supposed to do kind of message that was just so... touching. I mean, even now it kind of brings
brings
me to tears to think about it. And it was just one of those things that so many creators did to help us get through. But it kind of in many ways captures for me a lot of the feelings about her whole time.
I was thinking as you were talking that's so much the kind of doctor she was. Like I can't imagine Tennant's doctor doing a message like that.
Right.
Because it actually would be a mismatch for the character.
Right.
Despite how caring I think he was at that time. It's not the kind of caring Jodi was.
Right. No, she was like, I mean, she was the doctor for the time of a global pandemic.
Exactly.
How weird is that?
So weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess maybe that was part of my heartbreak, too.
Yeah.
Like, you want to erase the doctor that took care of us?
That held our hands through this?
Why would we wipe her out of canon?
Yeah.
And she said, well, because she destroyed the canon.
What? Because of the plot lines?
I said...
okay, so I am current, so no spoilers for me.
If you're not current, you can stop
just
now.
Just press pause.
Go watch Jodi and come back, because yes, things have changed.
Yes.
I mean, the history of the Time Lords has been deeply enriched.
Yes, altered. Yes.
I would say. Come back when you've watched it all. So I'm like, what? it's ruined? She's like, well, yeah. I mean, like... There's no more Time Lords. I'm like,
wait,
what? She said, well, you know, now now she's not a Time Lord. And I said, I'm sorry. She's trying to like check me out.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit awkward, but I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't understand. And she's like vehement. Like she is.
Oh, she's
there's passion.
This. Yeah.
She's angry.
Huh.
And I'm like, and now I'm like almost in like, I'm like, I'm like two sides of like the drama face. There's like two sides of me. On one hand, I'm like this.
Yes. Joyful. I have bonded.
Therapist mom. Who's like, oh, honey, what's happening here?
Yeah.
And then the other part of me is just like desperately hurt fangirl. Someone just wants to write my doctor out of existence because she broke the show. Like what is happening here? Sorry. So I'm like very confused.
Yeah.
So
This is a roller coaster.
It's a totally roller coaster. And I don't know what to make of it. And she's like, yeah, well, they, you know, I think we just need to get rid of her because she totally ruined it, totally ruined the canon. And now the Time Lords are like ruined. And I just think we need to pretend she never happened.
Whoa. Holy and I'm like, cow.
And so then I make, I think, an error. I say, well, you know, I don't think she did really because she was the first one. So she's the one who brought and made them Time Lords.
Right.
So it's not that she wasn't a Time Lord and it's not that they weren't all Time Lords.
Yes.
We just now really came, we now understand.
A sort of origin story.
Yeah,
like,
it's a I wish I'd said origin story. I was so flummoxed and like.
Well, yeah.
A mess.
And at Target, you were just looking for face cream and suddenly we're here.
Suddenly I'm like at the heart of like. I don't know.
Yeah.
Strange fandom.
Yeah.
So I said, it just, now we just know where it all came from. It doesn't, it didn't ruin anything. It just enriched the story. And she's like, well, I just think we need to get rid of her. Here's your stuff. I said, okay.
Wow. Also, ouch.
Well, thanks. And I hope you liked the Tenet stuff. And I walked away. It was so weird.
You know, it's so first, I'm so sorry that happened to you because that sounds hard.
It was so hard. I'm like, get rid of my girl.
It with a tangent, but also central. There is such a process of like when you're deep in your squee and so all about a fandom and somebody either negates it in a way that's really hard.
Yeah.
That sucks. Or calls it cringy, which is also really hard. That's a rough moment. We can come back to a conversation about cringe in the future. So that like as a human, I am so sorry that happened.
Thank you.
And also, I am so struck by how differently these really big fandoms that cross like international and across ages strike people so differently. Like I'll, you know, we'll watch even I think after the Barbie movie, I talked to a couple of different people and wow, the differences in how people experienced that film. And I was like, well, there's X, Y, and Z is what's happening in that film. But as I listen to other people tell their stories from their frame of reference, I'm like, oh, this is different for you than it was for me. Got it. So there's something for her that was different. And I don't know how like individual unique that was to just her or if she's part of a little fandom group that was very anti Jodi in that process. Also, it's a little weird to be like, she ruined the Doctor. Like this person as an actress destroyed her. There's a whole team of writers and creators that create the storyline that are part of the Doctor Who creative team. So who ruined what?
Well, and
right?
Yeah, exactly. She said, well, there was only one good episode of the season of her run. And I'm like,
okay, well, what was the one good episode?
Well, and she said, which is the only one that anyone liked. I said, oh, what was that? And she said, Rosa. I'm like, oh, well, that was a very good episode. I agree. But what about like the haunting of Via Diodati? Via Diodati, or what about the one where Jack comes back, or what about the one with Joe Doctor? Like those were all really, really good. She's like, well, I haven't watched that season yet. So we want to erase a whole Doctor who's ruined canon. And I did get a sense that there was a kind of a weeness to it.
Her corner of the internet, if you will.
Yes. That she needed to go, even though we hadn't watched it all.
Yeah.
And I think watched some of the best episodes. I mean, what was interesting about Jodi's tenure was that some of my favorite episodes of all time and some of my favorite characters were of her era, even though her arc as the Doctor left me wanting.
And
I wasn't satisfied with her whole arc. There are some of those episodes I watch over and over I find deeply satisfying, you know, individually. So, to want to just erase her out of canon, but yet I think part of what was distressing to me is I do feel that a little bit of the BBC. Like, there was no Jodi in this Sonic. Like, there was nothing about her. And it's weird because here comes Tenet back. Yeah. Here comes RTD back.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, so there is a sense of like, are we going to acknowledge anywhere?
Well, ironically, sort of the temporality of the process, these seasons of the Doctor, like you said, she's the COVID Doctor.
Right.
Like when these were filmed and occurred and who was part of the team at the time has such an influence and effect on the creation of the seasons and how we perceived it. Is also in our own time. Yeah. Like she's however old she is watching the Doctor from the... Because also if 10 is your Doctor and that's who you grow up with from when you're like 7 or 8, you're going to feel differently about other doctors. Like when you come into a fandom, I mean, Doctor Who's such the perfect example of this. And it's ironic that it's in a show about time travel that we're having this conversation, but it is like, Ten is absolutely my doctor. Not that I don't love the others, but yeah. So my feelings about him coming back are different. So whatever her exposure is, this is ever like, do you have a moment ever with your child where an actor that you saw in a film when they were much younger, they are having a first experience of in a, like a contemporary piece of media. And they're like, oh, that's the so-and-so old person. You're like, that was the love interest when I watched them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder if there's a difference for how this person's experience of Doctor Who at all and Jodie and that season in the context of their life and where they are now and what they're looking forward to.
Yeah.
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 Well, and for the people who are where Ten is their doctor,
yes.
I am not going to yuck their yum
right.
about having him back. And for the people who love RTD's writing,
yes.
I'm so happy for them, right? Like, I get it. I mean, if someone said Moffat's going to come back and he's going to write an arc for Jodie, I would be like unable to sleep. Like, right. I'd be so excited, right?
Yes.
So I get it.
Yeah. But you also get it with the wisdom of someone in their 50s,
exactly.
not necessarily the experience of someone who just right. simply hasn't been right. on the planet that long.
Right.
And that's, I use the word wisdom intentionally because I don't think it's about smarts or IQ.
No, right.
It's just
lived experience.
Lived experience. And there is this process that happens as we age where we just sort of have more experience in the world. It doesn't make us better than someone else, but it gives us more perspective, maybe.
Yeah.
I think that's different. So yeah, from her perspective, that all felt bad and she kind of wants it to go away. And she clearly has a group of people that also want it to go away. But that's going to rub up really hard against someone who is like so deeply grateful, for example, that there's a woman-shaped creature as the doctor.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And her perhaps not realizing that for that day when that doctor was revealed, for those
yes.
of us, you know, of a certain age and over,
yes.
how emotional that experience
Correct.
Was for us, you know, is comparable to, you know, her experience with Tenet and,
right.
you know, whatever. I think what was so interesting for me and why I brought it up here is not so much that, you know, I'm not mad at her
no.
or think she doesn't get to think what she needs, what she wants to think. It was more how much this youngling's statements,
yeah.
like how strong my reaction
yes.
was to it. And that it never even occurred to me, which is silly because of course there's fandoms think all kinds of things,
course.
But that there would be that reaction out there that would be so strong to her, to
yeah.
erase her. Like, wow, I guess that's out there.
Well, also for that to occur when you're in that moment of connection,
mm-hmm.
when you're so
right.
like excited to have found one of your fellow people.
Yeah.
And then to have that sort of feel right. like it's been dashed.
Right. When I had already kind of outed myself as a Jodie fan too. So.
Like I just wanted my face cream. And now I feel like I need a nap.
Or to offer her therapy. I'm not really sure. Go home and cry.
Yep.
Fangirling at Target. Stacey.
Hi, Heather.
I have noticed that there is an absence of a very important life event in media.
Shocker, okay.
Shocker.
Shocking. Yes, go on.
And it has to do with women.
Oh, also shocking.
Yeah. Now, I did not do an exhaustive, like,
full library search of all media ever.
So it's possible that our loving listeners will, like, send us many examples of this that I've missed.
Okay.
But menopause?
Oh my God. Or perimenopause?
None. Zip.
None.
And if it is, I've noticed in the very few examples that I can't even pull to my brain, but all I can pull is some vague image.
Yes.
In my head of menopausal women, they're like 90 years old. Like maybe the Golden Girls.
You don't think they have a cycle anymore? By the way, the Golden Girls are like in their 50s.
But I know.
That's a separate issue.
That's a separate issue. But.
Correct.
Right? Like women our age?
Yes.
No, like it's not a part of
no,
and yet, hello.
Oh, it's a part of my every freaking day. It is day.
An enormous part of life.
Yes. And yes. If you have a uterus, you are likely to go through this.
And it's a big deal.
It's a very big deal.
And I can't tell if we're not supposed to talk about it, if we're supposed to be ashamed about it, or if it's one of those things that it's a girl thing, so no one just talks about it because no one talks about girl things.
Yes.
And have I not been socialized appropriately that I'm like, why are we not talking about this? Like, I feel like maybe I'm supposed to shut my mouth about it and not talk about it.
I think that has been the prevailing opinion of dominant culture for some time. Well, I am seeing signs it's starting to shift, but they're just on the edges of barely there. But yes.
Is there a reason for that?
Okay, you want my like straight honest money? Money is the reason for that. This is totally tangential, but there is a new company and I'm starting to see new products that are targeting menopausal women who would... So I think that's part of what's happening. So it's starting to show up like an Instagram feed, people who are going to a separate provider, particularly for menopausal or perimenopausal care, because their general medical care is not covering it.
So the men have finally figured out that they can make money off of it.
This is my thinking, yeah.
So what took them so long? Because, hello, I'm pretty sure we've stopped making estrogen for a very, very long time. Yes. And what? Like,
There's so much that's about women's bodies. You heard of Vagina Obscura? You ever heard of this book?
No, I have not.
Okay, so full admit, have not read the entire thing, but it is a whole book about sort of the mystery of women's bodies and uterus owners' bodies, and about how we don't have the same research that we have for men's bodies. We don't have the same knowledge base, practitioners of all fields, including mental health, but physical health for sure, nurse practitioners, doctors, et cetera, literally don't know pretty basic information that you would think everyone knows, and they do not. And this book is about that and how that's really been sort of pushed to the side and obviously affects people in their day-to-day life. And so doesn't surprise me. It's not in our media.
You know, I just heard on the news the other day, yesterday or
someday. That was Thursday. Today.
It was Thursday. That the very, very first institute.
Yes.
The first institute studying human breast milk was formed at UCSD.
Oh, wow. Locally.
This year.
Oh, shut up. Wow. What? I mean, okay.
What?
Yeah.
So, and you know what? It really translates into pop culture. When do you see women nursing, breastfeeding? When do you see anything but the traditional pregnancy and birth narrative of I'm sick, I throw up, I faint.
Yes.
Then I give birth. Like I throw up, I faint, and then 2 seconds later, I scream.
Yes.
And have the most painful experience in my entire existence. I push out a child.
Yes.
And
who's
then,
like 6 months old.
Right. Who's 6 months old.
Yes.
Does not eat.
And looks perfect.
Who does not eat. And my body is perfectly back in shape and I'm at work the next day. Like, that is the only media we ever get. We get no alternative stories. Very rarely. Occasionally there is a show that does it. But I mean, and there's no stories about periods.
Yes. Unless it's about it. Like, that's the thing. Like, I can think of shows like Call the Midwife has lots of
stuff. Well, sure. But
it's literally about midwifery.
That's right. Right. There's no, like, our bodies and our physical lives are not a part of stories.
No. Agreed.
Right? It's like we don't, like, this book you said, we don't have bodies, even though a woman's existence is so embodied. And no matter how much we try to run away from it and not think about it, I'm sorry, it's there all that time.
Yes.
All the time. I mean, maybe there's a week where it's not governing some aspect of your existence. You get a week off once a month.
Well, people will talk about hormones like specific to like a menstrual cycle. As though there aren't other hormones happening, or they'll talk about hormone replacement therapy, but only to address estrogen. It's not the only hormone involved in sleep and our whole human functioning.
Right.
Yes.
Well, and when you're menstruating, those hormones are having different effects different weeks of your month, right?
Not just right before when you have your cycle.
Right. And then you have this fantasy That, oh, well, you will stop having your period and then you'll be free of this.
Oh, and that will happen magically one day.
One day,
and
it'll
just be over.
Hello. No.
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 Perimenopause lasts 3 to 10 years.
I don't understand why we don't have so many stories about this. Yes. Because this is such a big deal.
Yes.
And it seems like there'd be lots of women that would pay lots of money and spend lots of time in front of their TV seeing their life story on the screen and feeling seen and feeling heard and watch all those damn ads or pay all those streaming monies to just be like, oh, yeah, that's me. And all the different varieties of, oh, that's me. It's like what you just said. Like, only now are they figuring out we would pay money for things too about it. Like, that's not about just being seen, but being assisted or understanding.
Correct.
So I just been thinking about this.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, for me, in some ways, it falls into the fact that we don't really talk about sexuality broadly framed, like not just the intercourse sexuality, but all sorts of sexuality. Right. Unless, again, it's the focus of the show, like Sex Education talks about sexuality all the time. But and including women's sexuality and including menopause or perimenopause processes where their cycle, again, unless it's a plot point. But isn't just sort of a thing you do or part of people's lives.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that is the most striking to me is not, it's sort of, what are we calling menopause? Like, I had not heard of perimenopause in any real way until not long before it was happening to me. And I was like, how have I never had anyone tell me? I'm a freaking doctor. And nobody said, hey, by the way, there's this process that will happen that will take several years. Okay, also side note, so I had a hysterectomy in my early 40s. No one anywhere, and there's lots of people who have hysterectomy for lots of different reasons. Mine was for fibroids, right? So no one anywhere told me, but I still, I still have both of my ovaries.
Mm-hmm.
Some people who have that surgery have one or both ovaries removed, depends on what the surgery is for. Okay, so I didn't go into menopause because I have both ovaries.
Right.
But my body was responding differently because progesterone is processed differently if you don't have a uterus.
Right.
And no one, when I would go to the doctor all the time, that, you know, they, the one of the questions they ask you every time, so when's the date of your last menstrual cycle? And I'm like, well, that would be about 11 years ago.
Is it not there in my chart?
Can you not pull?
Hello.
And why would it not be at the top of my chart that I don't have a uterus? That seems important. Anyway, like, no, I saw nowhere, nor was I told by the people who literally did the surgery, like, my menopausal experience will be different. Because as soon as I don't have a uterus, I don't have a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't mean I stopped ovulating.
Right.
That didn't mean some of the other weight changes and body changes and sleep changes didn't happen. All of those happened just without endometrium, which is a trip in and of itself. That story is nowhere. And I have a group of friends. We call ourselves the Uterati. Because none of us have a uterus.
I did so not know that.
We're the Uterati. And I'm like, did anyone tell any of you? Do you ever see this story and described or sort of visualized in media? No. No.
The other thing they don't tell you?
Yes.
So 20 years ago,
yes,
somebody does a bad study.
Oh.
On hormone replacement therapy.
Oh my gosh, yes.
A bad study that says it's bad for you.
Yes.
And somehow, for some reason, it's the study that everybody quotes and that makes everybody's awareness.
Uh-huh.
And even though all of these studies come later that say, actually, in most circumstances, there are circumstances. Please talk to your doctor. Please talk to your doctor. I'm not that kind of doctor. Go to your physician.
Yes.
This is not medical advice.
Correct.
Even though there are all these studies later that say in many, many circumstances, HRT actually is quite good for you.
Correct.
And good for your health. That study is the study that lives on in our consciousness.
Yes.
So all these women, including myself, who is actually quite knowledgeable in this, given that I'm a lesbian who got herself pregnant. So I have to know, I had to know a lot.
All the fertility things.
Like a lot about my body.
Yeah.
Did not know that. And so I suffered and suffered and suffered. And finally, I got to a place where I was not sleeping at night because of hot flashes and I was not liking what's happening. I thought, okay, I have to talk to my doctor. And I talked to my doctor and he was like, I am really surprised that you don't know this. And he didn't say it to mean that I, Heather, should have known this. He meant that I, sex educator, psychologist, lesbian who got yourself pregnant,
mm-hmm.
surprised that this is not information that I had not come across.
Yes.
In all of my self-education.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't have to be suffering in that way.
Yeah.
And that was bad research.
Yes.
And that I should go on HRT.
Yeah.
And so.
And that there's more than one way to do HRT. There's patches, there's creams, there's pills, and they work differently for different people. I didn't know any of those things.
I didn't know either. And then I start talking to my patients and they don't know either.
Yeah.
And then I start talking to my friends and they don't know either. And where is the media on this? So.
Isn't that a reflection?
Stacey, I'm losing my shit over here. Okay. Now, I don't know if I'll bleep that, but whatever. Okay. I'm losing it because. There are all these commercials on, do you know what a hot flash is?
Uh-huh.
All these commercials on hot flashes and no commercials that say, that was bad research.
Yeah.
For most of you, most of the time, HRC is safe. Talk to your doctor about it.
Yes.
I've never seen that commercial.
No.
And I do not understand. I don't get it. And we're not seeing it in our stories and in our movies and... What is happening? Isn't that just,
I mean, I think there's such an invisibility of women as we age. So to me, it feels part, it's not to minimize it in and of itself, but it feels part and parcel of that story, of that process, I guess. So I think if we don't, we tend to prioritize or notice that which is represented in popular culture and dominant culture and vice versa, right? The thing represents itself. Art imitates life. Life imitates art. So if it's not anywhere, it makes sense to me that we would never have seen it.
Yeah.
Right.
So I want some stories about sexy, powerful, confident, or struggling, depressed, anxious. I don't know. Whoever. Give me some women all over the place who are dealing with menopause.
Or who have the range of that. That some days you feel sexy and beautiful and amazing.
Exactly.
And some days you're having a hot flash. And those could also be the same day.
Yeah.
Or the brain fog of it or the insomnia of it. Because that's the other thing is if I do see media or conversations, it's hot flashes and it's you don't have a period anymore. And so you can't get pregnant.
Right.
And it's like, you can't get pregnant. You're all done making babies.
Yes. You know where we actually, now that you've said that, you know the few times I've seen it?
The accident baby. Surprise baby.
Right. Oh, you're going into menopause, but you can still get pregnant.
Yes.
You're still fertile. You're still fecund. Or he's still got it.
Yeah.
He's so powerful. You're perimenopausal, but he made you pregnant.
Exactly.
Like, what?
Yep. And that's the sort of the point of the story, the surprise baby.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting, didn't plan, how do I manage? But the sort of day-to-day for so many people's common experience of this transition, because it's also not a single event.
Right.
There's a transitional process and all the things. Because also once you stop your cycle, it's not like suddenly everything else just regulates itself.
Right.
There's still so many other hormones in our system.
Yeah.
So that process, no, I'm not seeing that anywhere.
I want
except
those stories.
Like, okay, so ironically, I'm not seeing it anywhere. Except literally everywhere, because it's all of my friends.
Well, right.
Right?
Right? It's a lived life experience.
Correct.
That is completely absent in our stories.
Yes.
And that's a story that could be anywhere. I mean, you can be in space, you can be fighting monsters, you can be doing anything. And if it's a woman.
Yes.
She could be like, oh, man, get these clothes off, I'm so hot.
Or the brain frog. That's a alien monster.
What is
xenomorph. Something
is
scary and drippy.
Or like, sex just doesn't feel the way it used to. Yes. Right?
Yes.
Like all of that could happen and you could be doing whatever else you're doing.
Yes.
Why is that so hard?
Apparently that's very difficult.
I think we just all need to stop not talking about it and start talking about it. And then maybe we can change. So it's not such a weird thing anymore.
So we could talk about it on like a podcast?
Yes. On a podcast. We could talk about menopause. Maybe we should talk about menopause. Every time. But often maybe we could talk about it more.
We can talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, dearest listeners, the teapot is empty and our time is up. Please join us again for more Squee.
And if we're really lucky, some actual psychological insight into the world of pop culture. See you next time.